Well, thank you so much for your welcome. It's really good to be here. I wanted to say something to everybody here, but particularly to the families who brought children for baptism, which is such a wonderful thing to do. I want to say something about the prayer that Jesus gives to us, the Lord's Prayer, and how important it is, and to encourage you to use it and to pray it and to teach it to your children who've come for baptism today as they grow up. Because I think these are some of the most powerful words ever spoken, and they have the power to shape lives and communities. Many of us think we know the Lord's Prayer, and many of us do. Many of us learn it when we are really small. I was taught it by my mum when I was about 3, I think. And for many people, it will be the last words they ever speak on this earth, their final prayer before they die. There probably isn't a moment in any day or night when somebody in the world is not praying the words of this prayer. And Christians have prayed it now for almost 2,000 years. But often when we pray it, we don't fully understand all that it means. And perhaps those of us who've been praying it for years have forgotten what a treasure it is. And those who've never learnt it, because there is probably in this country now a generation growing up for the first time in 800 years, which is not learning the Lord's Prayer, all of them, as they grow up. Those who've never learnt it may not understand what it means. But it is the most powerful, life-shaping prayer. So let me offer you just 7 reasons why you should pray this prayer, one for each line of the prayer. The prayer is taught to us, to the disciples, by Jesus, and they have passed it on to every generation. And it begins with 7 words which help you find your place in the universe. And that's my first reason. Say this prayer because it will help you find your place in the universe. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Even in that first line of the prayer, you have reminded yourself that you are not here by chance. You are not a random collection of atoms floating through an infinite universe without reason. You are here on purpose. You are made by a God who loves you, and whose relationship with you is, in its deepest sense, like a father to a child who loves you that much. And you are part of a great community of people who look to God and say together, "Our Father." You are not put on this earth to be in charge of it, thank God, though many of us think we are, or to be at the center of it. God is at the center and calls us into a relationship of love with him, to know him. Say it to find your place in the universe. The second reason is that it will give you a way to understand what's going on in the world. The second line of the prayer is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." Many, many people, even when they hold on to the idea of a good God who made the world, are confused and find it really difficult that there is so much in the world which is imperfect and challenging and hard. And that's understandable. But the second line of the prayer reminds us so powerfully that God intends the world to be good, but it is not yet there. God's kingdom has come in Jesus Christ into an imperfect, twisted world. in which there is so much goodness, but so much of the stuff that goes wrong. But God is at work, and one day all will be as it should be, and God's kingdom will come in all its fullness of justice and peace and goodness. But in the meantime, we are on a journey and praying for the world to get better. So we pray this prayer to help us to understand what's going on in the world. The third line of the prayer is, in many ways in our culture, I think, the most challenging and the most powerful. It is, give us each day our daily bread. Some people think that's the line of the prayer that gives you a license to ask for stuff. But actually, it's the opposite. It's saying to God, give us each day just enough for today. And it's a prayer to enable us to be content with just enough. And that makes it the most challenging and life-changing prayer in the world. All day long, in every possible way, you and I are bombarded by advertising. And all of that advertising through social media, on our phones, on our televisions, as we drive down the street, as we walk through a shopping mall, all of that advertising has one purpose. And it is to make us discontent with what we have and make us permanently unhappy so that we want more of a particular thing. And if we fall into that trap, then we will simply never know happiness and peace. Jesus teaches us to pray and teaches us to teach our children to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Help me to be content with just enough and to find joy there. The fourth line of the prayer. Teaches me to live with my imperfection and weakness. Forgive us our sins. Again, something to be said every day. One of the most common misunderstandings that gets at the root of our personality and really makes us anxious and eats away at our peace of mind is the understanding that we should be in some way perfect and project a perfect image. Be perfect husbands or wives or partners, perfect parents, perfect children, perfect grandparents. And the world expects of us more and more that image of perfection. Jesus builds into his prayer the understanding that we are far from perfect, that we mess up, that we make mistakes, that we break things, that we do things, that we say things that are wrong. And what is needed to function in life is an awareness of our imperfection and that we can be forgiven daily and come to God afresh. And that is a much more liberating way to live than trying to think that we are perfect. And the fifth reason is in the next line of that couplet. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Help us to let go of the things that people do to us which hurt us, because we ourselves have been forgiven. So many families and friendships and communities are fractured and chasms open up because we are not able to let go of the hurt that other people cause us. That is not a good way to live this life. We need the oil of forgiveness in all our relationships to be willing to let go of what we do. The sixth reason and the sixth line of the prayer tell us that life is probably going to be challenging and difficult. Lead us not into temptation or into the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. It's far better that we know that life is likely to be challenging and difficult than we assume that it should be easy and straightforward. To live well as a person and to flourish means to rise to that challenge and to be expecting it along the way and to seek God's help within it. And to be a Christian does not mean that God takes you out of the trouble and difficulty in the world, but that God is with us right there, right in the middle of it. And the seventh line, which the church added very early to the prayer, it's not in the words of Jesus, but it brings us back to the beginning, tells us the end of the story. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It tells us how the story is going to end. That our life with God endures beyond death, in worship and in praise, and that in the end, all things will be well. This is such a powerful prayer for anyone to pray. For Christians who've long forgotten what the prayer means, I'd encourage you to go back to it and pray it again and understand how these words can shape our lives. For those who are not Christian, I'd encourage you in your questioning about what this life is for and who you are and how you live to say this prayer and to get a sense of what it could mean. And for those who are parents and godparents and bring their children to baptism today, teach them this great treasure of the faith to say it line by line so that they know who they are in this universe. So that they understand the world around them, the joy and the pain. So that they learn to be content. So they can live with the imperfections and seek new beginnings and live with the imperfections of others. So they are prepared for difficulties and challenges in life. And so that they know the end of the story. May God bless you and bless your families and especially these children, whom we bring to baptism this morning. Amen.